Welcome to the Just Ingredients podcast. I'm Cara Lynn, and here we talk all things nourishing to the mind, body, and soul. This is a place where you can find just good ingredients to life. Dr. Elizabeth Boham is a physician and nutritionist who practices functional medicine at the Ultra Wellness Center in Lenox, Massachusetts. Through her practice and lecturing, she has helped thousands of people achieve their goals of optimum health and wellness. She witnesses the power of nutrition every day in her practice and is committed to training other physicians to utilize nutrition in healing. Dr. Boham has contributed to many articles and wrote the latest chapter on obesity for the Rankle Textbook of Family Medicine. She is part of the faculty of the Institute for Functional Medicine and has been featured on multiple podcasts and in a variety of publications and media. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Today, I'm really excited for our guest because I have had so many listeners and followers lately ask about hair loss, and so I went and found an expert who could talk about hair loss to us, and so Dr. Elizabeth Boham is here today to discuss all things hair, and so thank you so much for being here today, Elizabeth.
Oh, thank you, Carolyn. It's great to be with you and all your listeners. This is fun. This will be fun.
Well, like I said, I have a lot of questions for you because I don't know what it is. A lot of people are worrying about hair loss lately. So before we delve into that, though, will you tell my listeners a little bit about yourself, your background, how you got to where you are today?
Absolutely. So as you mentioned, I'm a physician. I did, though, my undergraduate and graduate degrees in nutrition. So I really love talking about food and using food as medicine. That's a huge passion of mine. And then I went to medical school and I'm board certified in family medicine. But soon after finishing my residency, I was really lucky. I got a job at Canyon Ranch in Lenox, Massachusetts. And that's when I met Mark Hyman and Kathy Swift and Todd Lapine and Cindy Geyer and a bunch of people who are were doing functional medicine. And that's when I started my training. So that was like in 2004, and I started my training in functional medicine. And for people who don't know, functional medicine is just a different way of looking at things, you know, as opposed to focusing on finding a diagnosis and then using a medication to treat that diagnosis, though sometimes that's important. In functional medicine, we're really looking to get to that underlying root cause, and we really focus on each person as an individual and how the systems in their body are working and in balance, or if they are out of balance, what do we need to do to help to create better balance in someone's body and their health? And it's really a fun way to practice medicine. We really look, as I said, for underlying root cause, and we pay a lot of attention to getting a really good detailed history on a person, understanding their timeline, the timeline of when things started to shift for them, and understanding how all the different systems in the body are interrelated.
I love functional medicine, and you work with an amazing group of people and know an amazing group of people. And so I'm sure it's fascinating every day what you get to do, because I'm sure it changes every day with each patient.
Exactly. It's fun because it does. It changes every day with each patient, and we get a lot of time to get to know our patients and understand what's out of balance for them and what do we need to do to create better balance. It's really fun.
Oh, so fun. Okay. So like I said, we're going to talk about hair loss today. So we're just going to delve right into it. But before we just start talking about hair loss, we better understand the actual cycles of hair growth and maybe, you know, what's contributing to the hair, things like that. So let's talk about the cycles of growth first.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was excited to come on and talk about hair loss because so many patients who come in to see me complain about hair loss. And whether it's full hair loss or just thinning hair, a lot of people have concerns about it and are always wanting to understand more about what they can do to create an optimal head of hair. So yes, so there's a lot of things we're going to delve into today. And as you can imagine, there's a lot of different reasons why people have hair loss or hair thinning. And so some will pay a little bit more attention to than others. But yes, a great place to start is the cycles of hair growth. So we realize there's a few different stages, right? So there's the anagen stage, and that's considered the growth stage. And so our hair grows typically in this 2 to 7 year cycle, where it's in a growth stage between 2 and 7 years. And about 90% of our hair is within that growth stage. And then the other stage, another stage, is the telogen stage. And that's the resting stage, or the stage where the hair will fall out. And that's a very normal thing to occur. In fact, we lose about 50 to 100 hairs a day. That's a normal thing that's happening.
And that doesn't sound good.
It sounds like a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And so sometimes I think we get overwhelmed by the amount of hair coming out, but it is normal to lose 50 to 100 hairs a day. And those hairs are in that telogen phase, typically, right? And that's where that resting phase where the hair comes out. And that typically will last 2 to 3 months, that when the hair is in that phase. And then new hair will start to grow in its place, and it'll go into that anagen or growth phase. So it's always cycling and turning over. And that's a very regular, normal process that's occurring.
Okay, that's good to know. So now we know the stages, but are there different forms of hair loss?
Oh, absolutely. So that's a really great question. And does it make sense for us to delve into all of them today? We will really focus on some of the more common causes and things that people complain about. But there are many reasons why somebody may lose hair. And there's definitely a genetic component to it. I mean, we all know that there are people who lose more hair than others. And so there's a definite genetic connection to hair loss. You know, sometimes we divide it into non-scarring hair loss and scarring hair loss. So scarring hair loss may be, you know, you get an infection on your scalp and that will result in hair loss, or some sort of a inflammatory process that will result in hair loss. There's a lot of reasons for that. And as I said, we probably won't delve into that too much today. The more common is the non-scarring hair loss. And the most common that occurs in that category is what's called telogen effluvium. And so what that means is that in that telogen or resting phase, too much hair is falling out. So we talked about that 50 to 100 hairs falling out every day. But when somebody has telogen effluvium, they're getting excessive amounts of hair loss when that hair is in that resting stage. And that's very common. Some other things we see are like a focal patch of hair loss. So if somebody has a, like, you can almost see it like a circle of hair loss, you know, that can be from an autoimmune process, or people will lose all of their hair. That can also be an autoimmune process, like called alopecia areata. So that takes us down a whole different pathway. But an area that we really can have some influence in, especially through lifestyle, is with this telogen effluvium.
Well, and I would love to talk about some of the things that we can do. But first, let's talk about some of the things that maybe are affecting hair loss, because we all have heard many things, like it's your thyroid or your digestive system or inflammation. So maybe let's talk through some of these. So thyroid, yes, that can definitely be a cause of hair loss, correct?
Absolutely. So if your thyroid is not working properly, or if you're on thyroid medication and you're not getting enough thyroid medication, or if you're getting too much thyroid medication, all of those situations can cause excessive hair loss. So it's a great place to start when you're noticing more hair loss. And, you know, maybe you also have some other signs that your thyroid's not working great, like you feel tired or you have dry skin, you're having some constipation, fatigue, depression even, you want to make sure you see your physician and have a thyroid panel done, and maybe even look for thyroid antibodies to make sure there's not an autoimmune process. So absolutely, thyroid is a really important place for us to pay attention.
To start. Okay. And then what about our digestive system? Is this causing us not to absorb all the nutrients that we need, or is it something else? Because you hear about the digestive system and nutrients in your hair.
You know, that's one of the areas that I pay so much attention to in my practice, because I see a lot of people who have issues with digestion. And so they're not digesting or absorbing their nutrients properly. And as a result, that's causing more hair loss. We really look at what's going on with somebody's digestive system. Do they have signs of maldigestion or malabsorption? And we can figure that out through asking specific questions. Do you get bloated after a meal? Do you have diarrhea? Or do you have undigested food in your stool? We can also get a sense based on testing. You can look at protein levels in the blood, amino acid levels in the blood. And amino acids are those breakdown products of protein. So many times, actually, that's something I see very often in my practice. I will see some low amino acids. And when we replace those with supplementation, we see some really good improvement in hair growth. It's fascinating. And it may be because somebody's not eating enough protein. That's actually really quite common, especially in women. We know that up to 40%+ of women over the age of 50 aren't getting the basic minimum of protein in their diet.
Wow.
And that, of course, yes. And so there's this whole process called the triage theory that we really believe in nutrition. And what that means is that the body has this incredible ability to triage its nutrients, whether it's your macronutrients like your protein or your micronutrients like your zinc and
magnesium,
iron, right? Magnesium. So you've got this whole triage theory. And what that means is that the body, if it's not getting sufficient amounts of certain nutrients, it will use the nutrients that it's getting for the most important things first in the body. So for example, you know, you need to make immune cells, cells in your body to fight off an infection. So, and that you need protein for. So if you're not getting, you know, the optimal amount of protein in your diet, your body is going to use its protein to, you know, make all those cells that are necessary for the immune system to work properly. But as a result, it might not have enough to grow hair because hair needs sufficient protein to grow. So it's a very interesting process that the body can really adapt. And so many times when people are not getting, I mean, they might not have true deficiency in a nutrient, but they're insufficient. We often see that come out in their hair, and their hair just might not look or feel as optimal. And so protein is one of those things that I think is really important that we pay attention to, not only the amount that somebody's getting, but are they digesting and absorbing it properly? And as I mentioned earlier, amino acids are one of these supplements that we'll often use that can help in those situations with people's hair.
So interesting. I love the triage effect. So basically the nutrients are keeping us alive. And so we don't need hair
Absolutely.
To be alive. And so maybe that's why some people's hormones are slacking, because we don't need some of the hormones. We need to work on our heart first or our brain first. You know, it's going to take the most important to keep us alive, correct?
That's absolutely correct. That's a really great point regarding hormones. Like, for example, we know that if we're not getting sufficient nutrients, or if there's a significant stress going on, what is one of the first things that happens is for women that are, you know, premenopausal, they'll stop getting their period. So their body's not going to allow them to get pregnant because there's insufficient nutrition around. And so it's really important to pay attention to, you know, you're getting all of the necessary nutrients and the importance of nutrient density, right? Really focusing on, you know, the foods that have the most dense amount of nutrients in them so that we can get all the nutrients our body needs for everything to be working optimally, including having nice hair.
We know thyroid hormones play a part in hair loss, but do the other hormones play a role as well?
Absolutely. There's a lot of things that we can think about in terms of hormones. One thing is just stress and the stress hormone, right? So cortisol. So one of the things we know, remember we were saying telogen effluvium, that's that diffuse type of hair loss that can occur. And what's happening during that process is more hair is in that resting phase, and excessive amount of hair is falling out because more hair is in that resting phase. And so what happens is that can happen after a significant stress. Mm. And so let's say a significant stress happens, and it doesn't have to be emotional stress. It could be physical stress, like you get an illness, like a significant illness, hospitalization, COVID, right? So a lot of people notice this post-COVID. Even after you have a baby, right? You go on a really significant diet, right? So you cut back on calories, you do a real intense diet where you lose a significant amount of weight, right? That can be a very stressful event for the body. And so what happens is during that significant stress, more of the hair gets pushed into that telogen phase, mm-hmm. right? That resting phase. And then what people will notice is 3 months later, they're losing way more hair than they were typically losing. It's usually that 3 months, you know, the people will say 2 to 5 months, but 3 months is really that magic point where you say, if this is a big change for someone, what happened 3 months ago. And people noticed, as I said, that with COVID, they did, you know, significant weight loss, infection, illness, hospitalization, delivery, right? Yeah. All of those things. So that's important to pay attention to. So stress has an impact. So physical and emotional stress. And so that's important for us to pay attention to. So that hormone cortisol that gets released from our adrenal glands and helps us with managing stress. And it's really an important hormone and that we need to have, but that can result in some hair loss 3 months later. Now, the good news is that if that stress resolves, right? So you get out of that stressful event, you're going to start noticing that you're not going to be losing as much hair a few months later. So that will calm down and that will resolve. And you can be assured that, you know, as long as you take that time to take care of yourself, that's going to really even out. It's not going to just continue and continue. The issue is if you don't get out of that stress. So if there is something going on that's continued stress, you've got to pay attention to it and say, okay, well, how do I change things so my body's not in this chronic stressful situation?
Well, okay, that makes sense about postpartum hair loss, because it is always about 3 months later that you start losing your hair. And so that makes sense. But I'm curious about the cortisol, because so many of us live in that fight or flight all day long, from the busyness of moms with little toddlers or babies and running to work and the busyness of work and things like that. So is the cortisol affecting our hair loss because it's dropping, like stealing from our progesterone to create all that cortisol? Or what exactly is causing that hair loss with the stress?
When there's an acute stress, right? So when it's an acute stress, the body goes into this protective mode. It says, okay, I'm not going to focus on growing hair. I need to make sure that I can handle, right? Again, that thing. If you're under acute stress, the body gets ready to run away from the tiger, right? It is paying attention to sending blood to the muscles so you can run. It's saying, okay, I'm not going to focus so much on hair growth. And so that's that acute stress situation. It's a good question regarding chronic stress, you know, but a lot of times when people are under chronic stress, they're having these episodes of acute stress that keep happening. And there's nothing wrong with having some times of stress. You know, the body is built to handle stress, right? We have a whole system in place to be able to handle these stresses. So it's not like all stress is bad, but one of the things you want to really evaluate if you're seeing like this chronic hair loss is, okay, am I giving myself time enough to rest and recuperate? Am I giving myself sleep and feeding myself well? Or am I just chronically running on empty, right? And that's really something we have to all pay attention to and dial back in when necessary. But I mean, you're right. We have busy lives and there's a lot of times that's great and wonderful and is not causing us any harm. So it's really thinking if we're pushing ourselves too much where we have to dial it back.
Okay. A concern though that many women have, talking about postpartum, is the hair loss. Is this going to happen for months and months? Is it going to resolve itself? Or what do they need to do?
You know, it's really interesting. When we are pregnant, we actually lose less hair. Most women don't realize it. They're just too busy being pregnant that they don't realize that less of their hair is going into that telogen phase or the hair loss phase. And so it usually catches up after we deliver the baby. So as we were mentioning, you know, 3 months afterwards, we'll notice more hair loss because more of that hair then shifts into that telogen or resting phase and we get more hair loss. For most women, this resolves really quickly. You know, they'll notice after the next few months that it just all slows down. And from my experience, it's not usually a big issue. There is, though, some women lose a lot of blood during delivery and they can become very low in iron. So they may be needing extra iron. Most of the time when women are postpartum, I'm saying continue your prenatal vitamin because there's iron in there. And especially if you're breastfeeding, you need to continue your prenatal vitamin. That's really critical. And if it's just continuing, ask your physician to recheck your thyroid, make sure there's no thyroid antibodies and check iron levels.
And it makes sense because delivering a baby is a huge stress. But then, like you said, breastfeeding, all those nutrients we're also giving to the baby. Like, we've just got to take care of ourselves really well with the foods we're eating and the prenatals and trying to keep our nutrients well for us as well. So that makes sense that the hair loss would go with postpartum, but eventually it will resolve itself, hopefully, if we're doing what we need to do to keep our body nourished.
Yes, absolutely. That's critical, keeping that body nourished. And you're right, because that baby will just take whatever they need. So you've got to be, you know, giving yourself what you need to.
True. So we were talking about digestive issues and I skipped right to hormones, but I have still so many questions about digestive issues and the hair. So let's go back a little bit to the digestive system. So if we aren't absorbing all of our nutrients from our food, because we're not breaking down our food, are there certain nutrients that if we're deficient or insufficient in that will affect hair loss? So for instance, iron, does iron play a role?
Absolutely. So we were talking earlier about the importance of protein and the amino acids from your protein. And that's really critical for hair loss or prevention of hair loss, getting sufficient protein. The second thing that we see very common is iron deficiency. So it's a really important, if you're noticing a lot of hair, ask your doctor to check a full iron panel. It's going to be iron saturation and ferritin. It's a full iron panel. It's important to not just do a CBC and see if somebody has anemia, because there are times where your CBC, right, your hemoglobin and hematocrit look fine, but you're still low in iron, right? We see this all the time, especially in women who are still having their period. They're very low in iron, and that is a major cause for not growing sufficient hair and having more hair loss. And so, you know, have your physician do a full iron panel. It may be your iron may be low because you're not eating enough foods that are high in iron. So we see that more in people who are vegan or vegetarian. It's harder to get your iron from food. You can, but it's a lot. It's harder. You have to be really on top of it. And not everybody absorbs their iron from food the same way. So for some people, they need to be getting in some animal protein, grass-fed red meat, you know, to get in more iron. Iron is also in things like beans and legumes. So they're also a very good source of iron, but meats and chicken and fish, wonderful sources of iron as well. And spinach, it's not as easy to absorb iron from spinach, but it's also a good iron source.
Okay.
Raisins, prunes. So, okay. So yes. So the digestive system really is important to pay attention to. So you have to think about intake, but how well you're digesting and absorbing. 100%.
Okay. So I know a ton of people, probably more so than data shows, deals with digestive issues. I mean, there's so many people that write into me that have bloating or hurt after they eat or gas or, you know, diarrhea, constipation after they're eating. So yeah. If people are listening thinking, okay, that's me, I've got digestive issues, maybe I'm not absorbing all of my nutrients, maybe that's causing some of my hair thinning or hair brittleness or hair loss, what do you suggest to these people to increase that absorption of nutrients?
One thing that works well for a lot of people are called bitters. And this is a combination of herbs that people take before they eat that can help get their digestive system going. It can help their body make their acid in their stomach increase. It can help the bile get stimulated from the gallbladder. It can help the pancreatic enzymes start to work. And so that helps a lot of people. But if it's continuing, you know, in your digestion, you've tried things like pulling out foods that are hard to digest, especially dairy, and for some people, gluten, and it's continuing, you really may want to work with a practitioner who can figure out if there's some imbalances going on in the microbiome and work to rebalance that. So those are just some ideas of things to think about.
Okay, so talking about gluten, I have a question about gluten and hair loss because my little 9-year-old, she for years didn't do well with gluten, but we didn't figure that out for a few years. And so she had really thin hair. As soon as we got her off gluten, her hair started growing in nice and thick and better. So does gluten play a role in hair loss and hair thinning, or is it because of the inflammation it's causing and inflammation is the root cause?
It's a great question. Gluten is one of those foods that can impact our health from many different angles. So it's fascinating. For some people, gluten causes this autoimmune disease called celiac disease. And that's a very significant issue where, because of this autoimmune process, your body's fighting itself off, you damage the villi in your intestines. And the villi are really necessary for absorption of all your nutrients, your protein, your iron, right? All these things we've been talking about. And so when people have a full-blown celiac disease because of gluten, then they have problems with absorption of all their nutrients. In addition, though, gluten can cause a lot of other issues in the body. Not for everybody, but for a lot of people, we see gluten as a trigger for just inflammation in general. We know a gluten can trigger other autoimmune diseases for some people, so it can be tied in with autoimmune thyroiditis, so different thyroid issues triggered by an autoimmune process because of gluten. And when we take somebody off of gluten, their thyroid can improve for some people. We also know that gluten can trigger an autoimmune process in the stomach that impacts the cells in the stomach that produce acid and help you break down your protein and absorb those amino acids and all of those minerals from your food, such as iron. So it's a great question. There's multiple reasons how gluten can impact somebody, from, you know, full-blown celiac disease to non-celiac gluten sensitivity, and then just inflammation for some people. And so for your little one, it's a little hard to know exactly what was going on, but I'm glad that, you know, they're doing better in terms of the hair growth and everything. The other thing we see when people remove gluten, if they remove it in a healthy way, where you pull out gluten but don't substitute a lot of the gluten-free products, mm-hmm. which can have a lot of additives and refined carbohydrates in them. So when people cut back on the amount of gluten they're eating, but instead get more vegetables and get more protein and get more healthy fats, sometimes what's happening is their diet is just improving, and that's also helping with hair growth. So
that makes sense.
We definitely pay attention to gluten by doing a trial off of it, as well as sometimes doing some testing to try to figure out what's going on there.
Okay, that makes sense. So does inflammation itself, because I feel like a lot of Americans are dealing with inflamed bodies, does that play a part in the hair loss as well?
One of the biggest reasons that inflammation and hair loss are connected are through that whole process of insulin resistance. Insulin resistance, or metabolic syndrome, is very common, unfortunately, and actually can create hair loss in a lot of people, and even hair growth where you don't want it for some women, right? So insulin resistance is that process where, you know, so after we eat a meal, our blood sugar goes up and our body produces insulin. And insulin is the hormone that takes the food that you just ate and gets it into the cells so the cells can use it for energy, making ATP. And so when somebody becomes insulin resistant, they're not able to get the food into the cells as easily. And so what their body does is they produce more insulin to try to get that food into the cells so they can produce energy. But what happens is that high level of insulin that's floating around will create all sorts of havoc in the body. We know high levels of insulin triggers weight gain around the belly. We know high levels of insulin triggers inflammation in the body. We know high levels of insulin trigger everything from heart disease to cancer to diabetes and, you know, lots of illness. It also triggers changes in hair growth and hormone levels. So what we see with men with insulin resistance is they just have more hair loss, both on the top of their head as well as on their limbs. For women with insulin resistance, they'll have more of a hair loss on the top of their head, as well as maybe hair growth on their chin area and in their abdomen area where they don't want to have hair. So we'll see that sometimes with insulin resistance in women. We call it hirsutism, which just means that your hair is growing on your face and your abdomen where you don't want it to go, for women, that is. And that happens with insulin resistance. And so this whole process of insulin resistance that comes from eating a crappy diet. Sorry, I was trying to call it standard American diet, crappy diet, high sugar diet, high refined carbohydrate diet. You know, this whole process that we're seeing so many people have then causes shifts in our hormone levels. For men, that can result in higher levels of estrogen. For women, it can cause higher androgen levels. And it can cause all these shifts in hair growth and hair loss as well. You know, I think that's an important thing to be paying attention to.
Yeah, that is really interesting, because I just had a doctor on the podcast who said over 80% of Americans are dealing with insulin resistance these days. So that's a lot of people dealing with possible hair loss, I mean, or the belly weight gain or the hormones out of balance, you know, things like that. So That's really interesting that it contributes to our hair. And I know insulin resistance, I had a dermatologist on who talked about how that affects their skin. And so absolutely, we've got to get this under control if we want to feel healthy and look healthy, I guess.
100%. So you're right. It does also contribute to your skin and acne and abdominal weight gain and fatigue and serious diseases, but also changes in your hair and your hair composition. So that's another hormone that we want to be paying attention to. And for women, insulin resistance can be tied in with PCOS or polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is this syndrome where all of your hormones get out of balance. So again, there's multiple reasons for why somebody develops PCOS, and some of it's genetic and some of it's environmental toxin exposure and shifts that happen when you're in your mom's belly. But we do know that when we're not taking care of ourselves, when we're eating that high refined processed diet that's causing our blood sugar to spike and our insulin to spike, and we're getting insulin resistance because we're making the wrong food choices and we're not exercising enough and we're not sleeping enough, that is a huge reason for why our hormones start to shift. And for women, what we'll see is, you know, this whole PCOS syndrome where they'll start to get irregular periods. Not every woman, it depends on your genetics, but you'll start to get irregular periods. You could start getting acne on your face, especially in the lower part of your face, hair growth, as I said, where you don't want it, on your chin and on your abdomen, and then hair loss where you do want it, right on the top of your head. And that's that whole PCOS syndrome.
Let's take a quick break to hear from our show sponsor. If you are making clean ingredient swaps, it is important to ensure you are getting quality ingredients that are good for your body inside and out. Coconut oil and water-based lubricants have the healthiest ingredient list I've seen. They use all natural, non-toxic ingredients, are cruelty-free, made in the USA, and their packaging is plastic-free. For an exclusive discount code, head to coconut.com. That is coconut without the T. Coconut.com, and use code CARLIN15 for 15% off your order. My code stacks with their on-site discount, so order today and thank me tomorrow. Now back to the show. Okay, so I want to talk about things that could help the women, because we have talked about all these things that are deficiencies, and obviously we can add in more protein and help our absorption of nutrients for iron, things like that. But I want to talk about some of these common ones that you hear about. And so collagen, I mean, that's touted as take collagen, it'll help your hair, your skin, your nails. Is that something that can be beneficial?
Absolutely. So collagen protein powders are a good source of protein. They mix into things really well. So you can put them in a smoothie, into a soup, into some yogurt, whether it's a dairy yogurt or a non-dairy yogurt. And it's not a complete protein as some other types of protein powders, like a beef protein powder, but it is a good source of protein and it can help people meet their needs. So it is something I sometimes use. I mean, I'd rather people go with the food, but there are times where people, you know, aren't getting in enough protein and we add it in. So yeah, I think it can be very helpful.
And I know on social media, a lot of people debate whether collagen is absorbed or not. And people will say, oh, don't waste your money. Don't buy that collagen. Others are like, yes, take it. Over time, you will see huge benefits. And so you obviously believe we should get in our food first, but then you do agree that the collagen will be absorbed and help our body.
Yes. Yes. So there may be other types of protein powders that are more complete, but absolutely collagen is used and the body uses it and it can be a helpful source.
All right. Another big trendy one is biotin. So I even have seen like med spas that will give shots of biotin, claiming come get shots of biotin, it'll help your hair. I even heard someone tell me that they did those shots once a week. And then you see all the hair pills out there for hair growth and they're full of biotin. So do we believe this? What are your thoughts?
So biotin is a vitamin in the body that is really is necessary for keratin production, which helps with our hair and our nails, and it helps our hair and nails be more smooth. So if you're noticing that your hair is breaking more, if it's splitting more, or also with your nails, if your nails are really breaking and splitting, biotin is a nutrient that may be helpful. Most biotin comes in a high dose. There's nothing really wrong with using it, and it can help, especially the splitting hair, splitting nails. But the one thing you have to watch for is if you're getting blood work done, especially your hormone levels, your thyroid and female hormones or male hormones, you want to stop it for 5 days before you have blood work done because it can throw off what's going on in the lab. It's not changing your hormones, but it can throw off the lab value. But yeah, biotin is great, though it's not as good at helping the new hair grow. So I don't find it, oh, when I'm growing new hair, I need biotin. That's more, I need protein, I need iron. But if your hair is breaking, biotin may be a helpful nutrient for that.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, I didn't realize that. That's good to know. Okay, another one. If inflammation is playing a role in our hair loss, omega-3s obviously help tremendously with inflammation. So saying take omega-3s for better hair, can you say that or not really?
I mean, that's one of my first supplements I add for so many of my patients is omega-3 fats, a really good fish oil. And because we're looking to lower inflammation and improve cholesterol levels and decrease heart disease risk and all sorts of things, right? But a lot of times people will say, oh my goodness, my hair just feels better and my skin feels better because it gives more moisture. If you're deficient in omega-3s, you're going to have more dry hair and dry skin. And omega-3s will really help with that. So helping with lowering inflammation, but also really just bringing moisture to the skin and hair, omega-3s can be really helpful. And so I was saying, a lot of patients will come back to me and be like, oh, my hair is so much nicer with this fish oil. Again, I love getting omega-3s from food, ground flaxseed, walnuts, great source, sardines, anchovies, salmon, good sources of omega-3 fats. But for some people, actually a lot of people, I find that supplementation is really helpful and necessary.
Okay, that's good to know. Also, though, with omega-3s, they are the building blocks of a lot of our hormones as well. So I'm figuring that contributes to the hair as well.
I'm sure, absolutely. I think they're wonderful for so many reasons. And we know that when our red blood cell membrane has at least 8% of it made up of omega-3s, it's just a healthier, there's less inflammation and lower risk for many different diseases. So absolutely.
All right. What about vitamin D? Because this is a new one I just saw on social media, people touting about vitamin D, but I do know, I think the last stat I read was like 42% of Americans were deficient in vitamin D. So is this vitamin D really an issue with hair as well?
Yeah, that's a great question with hair. You know, so vitamin D is a really important nutrient. We get it from the sunshine. So if we live north of Atlanta to LA, right? So if we're north of that, then it's very hard to get vitamin D from the sun for like 6 months out of the year. And there's not a ton of food sources of vitamin D. Mushrooms are okay. You know, sometimes cow's milk is vitamin D is added. So it is something we see a ton of deficiency in. And one of the biggest connections with vitamin D deficiency and hair may be through that whole process of insulin resistance. So we know that when we're vitamin D deficient, we're at higher risk in terms of insulin resistance and prediabetes. And so when you're looking at your hair, you can say to your doctor, okay, I want that full iron panel, right? Because I want to get my ferritin between 30 and 70 maybe for optimal hair, or I want my vitamin D checked. So 25 hydroxy vitamin D, you can have them check, and you want it, you know, to be sufficient. So, you know, people argue about what is optimal for vitamin D, but at least not in the deficient area on the blood test. And, you know, at least 35 and then up to 75 is a good place for vitamin D levels to be. Most people need some sort of replacement to get there unless they're living closer to the equator.
So we've talked about all these things that contribute to hair loss. And for me, it's not a huge issue. But what I do think about, though, is like, is there a way to slow down my hair loss as I age or prevent hair loss? Are there things that we can do to slow that down? Or really, it's just a thing that we have to deal with, our stress and insulin resistance and inflammation and, you know, our nutrients?
You know, I think that when we are healthier, when our whole body is healthier, our hair is going to be healthier. And I think what's really important as we get older, when women go into menopause, there is a shift and they do have some increased hair loss because more of their hair goes into that telogen phase, but it's a slight shift, but people will notice it. So it's important to really think about all those other things you can do to support good hair growth. So making sure you're getting sufficient nutrients, enough protein, as we talked about, enough iron, and then managing stress. Those are huge areas to pay attention to, and preventing insulin resistance, right? Because we know, as we talked about, insulin resistance can trigger more hair loss. So all of those things make a huge, huge impact.
Okay. Well, as we live a healthier lifestyle just to feel healthier, hopefully we'll have better hair, the thicker hair to go with it. Okay. So we know there's a lot of common myths out there about hair loss. Are there any that you have that you would love to debunk?
Well, you know, that stress will cause permanent hair loss. So really, that stress can cause a stress-induced hair loss. But that is usually when those acute stresses happen. You know, if you start taking better care of yourself in a few months, that excessive hair loss will stop and will slow down. So a lot of times people come in and they get really nervous because they're like, I'm noticing more hair loss and it's just going to keep going and going. And that's a great time to say, okay, what am I doing for self-care? How am I doing in terms of sleeping enough, resting enough, getting the exercise I need, eating the right foods? And you'll start to notice if you think back, okay, 3 months ago, what happened? This is going to slow down. This hair loss is going to slow down. It's not going to just keep going and going.
Okay, good to know. That will maybe put some people at ease. I want to talk about really quick some nutritional supplements, meaning there's a few popular ones, I should say, right now that are hair growth supplements. But now, as I've talked to you throughout the show, the reality is these supplements are full of herbs like ashwagandha, which can help with the cortisol during insulin resistance and stress, and they're full of nutrients. And so
absolutely,
that's all it's doing is calming down our insulin resistance maybe or our stress and helping our body with some of those nutritional deficiencies. So they're not some magic hair pill. It's just so that it's helping the body, correct?
A lot of times that's what's going on, right? You're right. There's a lot of support in there for the adrenal glands and that stress that we talked about earlier. Some hair supplements will have saw palmetto in them or pumpkin seed extract, but the saw palmetto, what that can do is it can decrease the conversion into DHT or dihydroxytestosterone. And that type of testosterone, it's an androgen that causes more hair loss for both men and women. And so another reason that some hair supplements work is because for if there is that androgenic connection, if there is that hormonal connection to somebody's hair loss, that saw palmetto can decrease the conversion to the DHT and slow down the hair loss for that person. So it is kind of, it is an interesting thing to think about. And we do that all the time. When somebody comes in on a hair support supplement and they noticed an improvement, I am thinking about, okay, what was it in that combination that was helpful for that person, right? Was there iron in there? Were there amino acids in there? Were there adrenal support supplements, or was there saw palmetto or something like that that helped, shift that androgen levels in that person? And that can be all the reasons that those supplements can be helpful.
Okay, that's good to know. I really want to ask you, though, quickly about adrenals, because that is a hot topic on social media, especially TikTok, or maybe it's just my TikTok feed. I see a lot of stuff about adrenal complexes and supporting your adrenals. So supporting your adrenals can possibly help your hair because you're helping your cortisol levels, I'm assuming?
Yes, absolutely. So remember, we've got these adrenal glands and they sit up on top of our kidneys. You have two and they help us with managing stress. When the body's under chronic excessive stress, that whole system can kind of get out of whack. And some people will call it HPA axis dysfunction or adrenal dysfunction and adrenal issues. And that can absolutely contribute to hair loss for some people. What I've found is that the supplements that have a lot of support for the adrenals, like maca and ashwagandha, rhodiola, they can be helpful, absolutely. But nothing is as helpful as shifting lifestyle so you're not in that chronic stress state, right? So adding in the meditation, the breath work, the relaxation exercises, walking in nature, giving your body time to rest, doing your meditation, your yoga, getting enough sleep. Those things are critical. And so often we want to just find the pill that fixes our adrenals, but really you've got to think of the whole lifestyle piece too. We use all sorts of different adaptogens, as they call them, or adrenal support right. supplements, but nothing's as powerful as lifestyle there.
Right. I always tell people, I hate when people say reduce your stress, because sometimes we're just busy. I mean, I have six yes. kids and I own a business. You know, I sometimes can't reduce it, but I can manage it. And so managing it is the breath work, the meditation, adaptogens. I like adaptogens, you know, to help out with the breath work and the sleeping and the exercise and all of that. But it's the whole package, like you said, that will help.
Our body is made to handle stress. If we're not balancing it with the rest and rejuvenation, that it gets out of hand.
Okay. So to wrap things up here, if I've got listeners that are like, wow, this seems like a lot to fix my hair. I've got to, you know, get more protein, more iron, more omega-3s. I've got to exercise. I've got to manage my stress. I've got to do all the things. What can we say to these girls that are trying to figure out their hair loss? What suggestions, advice, or starting point can we give them?
Yeah. So I will always say, you know, start with lifestyle, you know, pull it apart, make a list. Okay. So sleep, how am I doing with sleep? Am I getting that 7 to 9 hours a night? Great place to start. Am I doing some relaxation exercises every day? You know, what did I do today to help with managing stress, right? What am I doing with my diet? So am I balancing my blood sugar? Am I making sure at every meal I have a good source of protein, and a good source of healthy fats and a lot of fiber to help balance my blood sugar and prevent those spikes in insulin that will contribute to imbalances in all of your hormones, including the cortisol and the female hormones and the male hormones, cause more hair loss. So really think about, okay, am I doing that? Am I taking care of that piece of things? Am I really focused on a good, healthy diet? And then what am I doing for stress management, right? And so really look at the lifestyle piece first. And then if you say, okay, I'm going to go visit my doctor, can you check my thyroid? I want to see if I have any thyroid antibodies, if my thyroid's working well, do a full iron panel to make sure that that's good. You know, if they will check vitamin D levels and even omega-3 levels, those are great things to look at as well. You can even ask somebody to do a fasting insulin and blood sugar. All of those things can help you get a sense of what's going on or what might be out of balance.
So interesting that all of this affects hair loss. And I really appreciate you teaching this to all of my listeners. And before we go, will you just tell our listeners where they can find you or learn more from you?
Yeah. So I practice functional medicine at the Ultra Wellness Center, and that's in Lenox, Massachusetts. So ultrawellnesscenter.com. My own personal website is drboham.com. And on Instagram and Facebook, I'm Elizabeth Boham, MD.
And everyone listening, she teaches way more than just hair loss. That was just one little topic I wanted to ask her about. She teaches about the whole body and all the things that you have questions about. Thank you so much for being here today. But before we close up, I always ask my guests what they have found to be the best ingredient in life. What would you say it is?
Oh, best ingredient in life. Well, I would have to say my family. So family, because family gives us support and meaning and purpose and most importantly, perspective. So family.
I love that. That's one of the ones that I choose all the time as well. They mean everything to me. So I totally agree. So thank you so much again for being here and teaching us all these amazing things about hair loss and how we can prevent it ourselves. And thank you so much.
Oh, great to be with you and your listeners. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. Remember to subscribe to the Just Ingredients podcast to learn more about your health and good ingredients to life. Plus, get daily tips at just.ingredients on Instagram.